Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
Doing very well, ready and raring to go.
Yes.
We're going to go and visit back with a country we dealt with many times in the past, several years ago, and that is Ukraine. Mm-hmm. You know, it's in the news, mainly because there's been a big trial going on. There's a special prosecutor, I guess you've heard, Mueller.
Yeah.
He's after people, and he's going to put them in jail, even if it doesn't have anything to do with looking into the presidential election.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the whole goal there was to pin all the blame on the Trump campaign. It turns out that the wrong person, as far as the establishment is concerned, is that Trump won and Hillary lost, and now they have to cover their bases. They have Hillary, who looks like she might have been colluding with the Russians,
yeah.
And then they can't find much. But anyway, Manafort was in the crosshairs. He's been involved. He was involved in Ukraine. That's why I brought that up. He's been involved with Russia, and also he was just convicted. Looks like he'll get approximately 4 years plus because there'll be another trial.
Yeah.
And what bugs me about this when I saw it is not that I even know the guy, nor do I think Manafort's a saint. He's part of the system,
yeah.
You know, and it's a system that I don't like. But he was prosecuted, and he was blamed, and he was convicted, and now it was an outgrowth of the special prosecutor, Mueller. Of course, that's one person that I don't care for very much, because I think it's such an attack on what justice should be all about. This has nothing to do with justice. But so I think what Manafort has gone through and is going through has nothing to do with the things that will put him into prison. It has to do with the gross misuse of justice. They're not looking for justice. That's irrelevant. And in Washington, that's a long time. Big governments are never just in their courts. But it turns out that the perceptions about Manafort, he's not much of a buddy with the Russians. He worked with them. He was involved with them and knows about it. But he was never charged with anything. Even Mueller didn't say he did anything wrong with the Russians. But nevertheless, he worked for Trump, and we're after Trump. We have to make Trump look bad. And now the perception's out there. Another person, another Trump guy. We convicted him. We're going to throw him in jail. He colluded with the Russians. So I think there's a lot of misunderstanding and misconception of really what's going on. And that's why I wanted to try to clarify this whole situation, because it's the last thing it is, it has nothing to do with justice as far as I'm concerned.
And that's why if you'd ask any American who watches the mainstream media and not the Ron Paul Liberty Report, what do they think about this? Aha, we got him. Russia collusion, we got him. But you know what? You and I both noticed an article by Andrew McCarthy in the National Review, not a publication I read that often, but it was a pretty good article. And it makes the point that if you actually read the indictment that Mueller put out against Manafort, it never says he was a Russian agent. It says he was acting as an agent of Ukraine in an unregistered way. He was an unregistered agent for Ukraine. So the whole Russia collusion, no, it's Ukraine collusion. And he was working for Yanukovych, and he'd worked for him for a number of years, right up until the end of 14, or the beginning of 14, when the coup happened. But what was he doing for Yanukovych? This is what's interesting and important that you'll never see it reported in the mainstream media. He was trying to do actually the U.S. government's bidding in a way. He was trying to pull Yanukovych and pull their party toward an association agreement with the EU instead of the rival Russia. He was actually working against Russia, against Putin. Putin and Russia wanted Ukraine to join Russia's trading organization, and Manafort was trying to pull him into the EU one.
Yeah, and now, as we've talked about, and now we look back, we can see that Ukraine is a big deal. You know, a lot of people ignore it and say, you know, it's one little thing going on. But it's East meets West, And it was the renewal of the Cold War is what happened. And there was a fight on which way Ukraine would go. Would it go with Russia? Would it go with the European Union? And there was a lot of fighting and fuming over it. But the neocons did accomplish. They got the neocons won their guy, Poroshenko, and who's supposedly aligned more with the European Union. But it's something that I think that is very, very, very important in that they did restore the Cold War. I mean, how many years did we, since the Soviet broke up, we've been trading and doing well. We advise, trade, even with the imperfect countries, because, somebody might point out that our country's imperfect. So there we are trading and traveling and visiting there, but that was just too much for the neocons. And, it's a toss-up, maybe not. But is it because they hate Russians and just want to fight and kill Russians eventually? Or is it because they like conflict because they make more money? Yeah. And I imagine there's both of those issues.
For sure. And you talk about this is something that was out in the open. Carl Gershman, I hope some of our viewers know who he is. He was the head of the National Endowment for Democracy. And that's the U.S. government's regime change mechanism. They're the ones who trained Juan Guaido and his party. They're the ones that were involved in the Arab Spring. They're our regime change, our color revolution NGO paid by U.S. taxpayer money. Carl Gershman wrote a piece in the Washington Post, September 23rd, 2013. And here's what he said. Ukraine is the biggest prize. Just before the unrest, this is as Ukraine was trying to finalize its association agreement with the EU. And it was thought up to that point that the EU and the Ukraine, they would finalize their agreement and Ukraine would move west. And he also wrote in the article that Ukraine is the biggest prize, essentially that this would lead to the end of Putin, which was his goal, the real goal, getting rid of Putin. And it wasn't until the very end, if you remember, and you won't find this on Google, it's down the memory hole, but they were going to go with the EU. They listened to Manafort. He said, hey, you got to let out your political prisoners. You got to dress different. You got to talk different. You got to talk English. Do all these things. They listened to him. They were going to sign the agreement. And at the last minute, Putin came and he threw down some more money. He said, okay, we'll give you X number of billion dollars and it won't be a loan. It'll be a grant. Well, the color of money looked better and they turned. And that was all she wrote. That's when the revolution started.
Yeah, and it does have a lot to do with NATO, European Union, and how close we are and how we have acted in this group where we indicated and in a way promised that we wouldn't be bumping up on the borders of Russia with NATO troops. But, the article made the point that if Clinton had won, none of this would happen because she was the one that was colluding.
Yeah.
So then they turn it around and they say, well, we know all about collusion, no, so we'll blame the Trump campaign on it. So they just switch gears. And yet, what have they ignored? We could think of a couple things they ignored. I'm still astounded that Bill Clinton made $500,000 to give a speech.
One speech.
And Hillary, afterwards, and their fund, they collected many, many millions of dollars. And also, when Hillary was Secretary of State, she was working hard with the Russians. She was colluding probably right out in the open. We're going to build Silicon Valley over there and helping along. And that has turned out to be the charge against Trump. Yeah. That he was involved financially, and there was nothing, compared to what they were doing. And then also we have that mess with the Steele dossier, and we don't hear too much about that in the Mueller report. You hear it outside of that, and information has come out, and it's been known, and so they're limping along there. But here we come up. And they have to conspire and get together and find out that Manafort is symbolic of all this that's wrong. We're going to put him in jail because he didn't fill out the financial reports right or something like that.
And, talk about the Clintons. Here's something that also is not going to come out. But Manafort, when you have a main contractor for a representational contract for a country, you'll do subcontractors. And one of the things Manafort did, he hired the Podesta Group. you know, run by the closest people of the Clinton circle, the Podestas. He hired the Podesta group to help arrange meetings and media opportunities for EU politicians on the issue of Ukraine. This is the whole time when he's trying to pull Ukraine into the EU, into the pro-America side. And he hired the Podesta group. He also hired a bunch of former European, the former Prime Minister of Italy, the former Chancellor of Australia were hired to help do pro-Western PR for Ukraine to come into the West.
See, this is not so much a partisan issue because both parties generally are for involvement overseas, intervention overseas, and trying to get the best deal. So it didn't work out that way because they're still trying to figure out about Republicans and Democrats. I don't think you have to deal with that. They sort of, you're either for this and you're for the West and you're for European Union or stuff, because if you're not, now, if you say, hey, you know, maybe the European Union, maybe we were too aggressive and we caused some of these troubles, you're a Russian sympathizer, and you know there's some members of Congress who lost their seat just because they wanted to talk to Russia.
Robocker.
I mean, it's horrible. And they say, oh yes, it's free speech in our country, but don't say anything that we don't like, you know, or you're going to get into trouble. So it's a mess. And right now, I just think it makes the point that we make here every single day that we're on, and that is these complex issues and all this conspiracy and wheeling and dealing and fighting and killing and stealing comes from the fact that we're engaged in an interventionist foreign policy. And most people say, well, that's necessary. Everybody else is, so therefore we have to do it. No, I don't think that is a reason. I think that we would be a stronger country. We would be a richer country. We could set better example. We don't have this moral obligation, and that's what they do. They turn it into a moral obligation that we have to be over there. We are responsible. We are the leaders of the world, and therefore we have this moral obligation to be the policemen of the world. So it isn't ever the conspiracy of power and money and all these things that we're talking about. It's always on high ground for humanitarian reasons. We have to feed the people and take care of the people. So this is where I think the real corruption is the principle of interventionism.
And you know, it's fashionable now to talk about Manafort as if he is the worst person on earth. He's the lowest of the, even McCarthy does this. He's a total scumbag. He's horrible. I don't think people understand really how lobbying works in Washington. If he is the most evil of all evils, there are hundreds, probably thousands of people like him. This is how they make a living. They say, oh, he's terrible. He made a lot of money representing bad guys, bad countries. Well, they're the guys that need representation. That's kind of how it works. You know, they need someone to brush up our image, help us. But you know, the problem is not so much the Manafort's. And, you know, I've known people that are in the business, and they say everyone should have the opportunity to have their voices heard. The problem is not necessarily that. It's a problem that we didn't really have in your office, because the problem is the system. The problem is that foreign policy is up for sale. And so these people are happy buyers. They'll come by, they'll bring their clients in, let us drop in, talk to you a little bit about why we need to build a new base over here or something. The problem is that foreign policy is for sale. The problem is not the Manafort's of the world.
You know, it reminds me a little bit about the drug war. You know, if we didn't have the war on drugs, we wouldn't have the people divvying up the loot and getting involved. And this is what happened. You're suggesting maybe if we didn't have so much money in sharing and doing all these things, we wouldn't, you know, there wouldn't be the incentive to do this. So I guess in a way it's a drug on the people in Washington, D.C., because it's out of control. So
and we never had problems in your office because people knew that it wasn't for sale. These are the principles. You laid them out. And it was interesting. I met with lots of them. They were interesting. A lot of them had information and everything, but it wasn't for sale, so it was not an issue.
You know, one thing that would come up, I can't remember exactly when it happened, but I say, you know, if there's something in there that's unconstitutional, even there's good stuff, my position is I still vote against it because you can't give up the Constitution piecemeal. And somebody told me, they say, boy, you've made my job so easy. I usually don't get past the first page or maybe the title, you know, of it. So, no, it's really a mess. And it looks like apparent prosperity in a country doesn't even change our tune. You know, we have imperfection, obviously, in our economy, but we still are very, very wealthy and very, very prosperous. And when I see some of the numbers, and I condemn the system of crony capitalism, but even that, when you take, you know, the poor people in this country, they've done these statistics to show how much wealthier they are than maybe all the countries in Africa or something. You know, we are wealthy, but it seems like then they get too much leisure and they have to look for a fight someplace. And that's why I say, take out your energies on sports. That's exactly. Carol and I raise our kids. If they had energy, go out there and play some sports and ride your bike.
That's good advice. Play some sports and ride your bike. Well, I would just close up one final thought, Dr. Paul. We hadn't mentioned this, but it's kind of, I was sad looking over the whole Manafort thing, because the liberals who are on our side when it comes to, hey, the sentencing for nonviolent crimes should be lower, but you see so many of the liberals, it's such a partisan issue. How come he only got 47 months? He should have got 47 years. So that's, I found that quite depressing. But I would just close again by mentioning our conference on May 18th. We have tickets on sale for less than a week now, and we're already about a third of the way sold out. It's going to the event's going to sell out. Some people, unfortunately, aren't going to get tickets. It always happens, and we're happy and we're thankful to all of you that it does happen. But get yours soon. You might be sending me an email a few days before saying, please, and we can't once the seats are all gone. So get your tickets, ronpaulinstitute.org/conference. All the details, Dr. Paul.
Very good. You know, the big question for me is, will this ever end? How long has this Manafort investigation gone on? It doesn't look like it stopped, even though it's always next week or next month. It's going to close down because they've caught all the bad guys. And I don't know. I don't think Barr, Attorney General Barr, is going to clean up the mess. I think it's going to continue. But it should end someday. But the big problem is the attack on justice. The justice system has been so corrupted. And when you think of even in the midst of protecting the establishment and the people in the FBI and the Justice Department, there were still that were so bad that they had to kick out about five of them out of the FBI, the Justice Department. And I've come across so many cases about the prosecutors pursuing, you know, individuals over and over again. But if it were important, it'd be different. But I think it's busy work and it's political. And just all that we're talking about here, we have international politics, but we have domestic politics too involved in this. And this whole issue of having the special prosecutor that was designed probably, and I'm no great supporter of Trump, it was probably all established because of the hysterical reaction to Trump winning and Hillary losing. And they're still bitter over it, so they've turned it into this fight because actually, you know, Trump does a lot of things that ordinarily they would support, but it's been turned into a personal thing and a personal hatred, and I just don't see that it's going to end soon. So let's hope that we can contribute to getting the truth out and a better understanding, realizing that it is not always that easy to sort it out and what's going on, but I simplify it because I do honestly believe that the whole principle of non-intervention is a good principle. Just have the government stay out of our lives, stay out of the economy, and stay out of foreign affairs, and try to prevent people from initiating violence against others. It shouldn't be any more complicated than that. Those are rules that have been around for about 6,000 years. It's not, we didn't invent them. It's not a libertarian invention. The founders knew a lot about it. It's been known in biblical times. So I think that we just have to emphasize the whole idea that initiating violence against other people is a bad thing to do, and the world would be a lot better off if we could change that attitude. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.